Does God have form or is he formless? Well, I think you're all correct. He has form and formless both. Form, if you want to worship him in a particular form as Krishna or Shiva or Jesus or Buddha, or if you want to see him as the all-pervading formless reality that supports and sustains the whole universe. But then the masters say he's even beyond both. He's beyond form and formless. Because our mind can only contemplate or think of things that we know. So form, okay, we think of a form, you close your eyes. Formless, we think of him like space or like... But this consciousness is even beyond the formless. Anything that we can think with our minds, that we can contemplate, he's not. That's why the Upanishads say, neti, neti, not this, not this, not this. Anything you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, he's not. Anything you can, emotions you can feel with your mind, love, compassion, kindness. Yeah, they are all in him, but he's not. He's beyond that. Even concepts of the intellect, form, formless, all-loving, pervading, he's beyond all those. So words cannot describe him, speech cannot describe him, or the intellect cannot think about him. So then why are we reading the books? Because the books are the pointers that tell us that when you read the Bhagavad Gita or the Bible or the Guru Granth Sahib, you can get pointers which will direct us in which direction you should look to understand who that consciousness is or what is that consciousness, what is that entity that we call as God or Brahman or Father in heaven. So last week, the verse that we did talked about Lord with form. We did the verse number 26, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. So when I offer a flower or a fruit or a leaf or even water, but if I offer it with love, then Lord accepts it. And generally you can offer when you see God with a form. As we saw in those stories, you know, Draupadi offered a leaf to Krishna, Shabri offered the flower, the devotee of Nainar, the devotee of Shiva offered water and so on. So when I'm offering Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, I generally think about God with form. And the Lord says, whatever you offer with love and I accept it. As long as it is offered with devotion and with a pure mind, with a mind that is free of hatred, jealousy, greed. So I have to reduce these qualities and then my offerings will be purer. But somebody might say, I don't believe in all this form. I'm a meditator. I sit and chant Om and then I contemplate upon the consciousness that is in me and that is all pervading and that supports this whole universe, and I don't believe in any form. So what can I offer him? You know, is there any path for me in the Gita? In fact, people often become very fanatical. Just as people become fanatical about the form, you know, my Krishna is superior to Shiva, or Mother Goddess is the only one, or Jesus is, you know, the best, you know, things like that. And then there's so much wars and violence and, you know, where even people who say that they don't believe in form, like Muslims, but they even go to Mecca, to Kaaba, and they kiss that black stone as a representative of God, and that black stone is kept in a silver casket with glass. So what is that? So it is very hard for an individual to worship the formless. You know, even in the Christian churches, we see images of Jesus and Mother Mary. In Buddhist temples, we see great statues of Buddha. Even though Buddha was very much against statues, but we find that. So if somebody says, I'm a meditator, but even that can become fanaticism. A person can say, I believe in formless and I don't believe in any forms. In fact, I know one person who belongs to this Arya Samaj group where they do not worship a form, and he's so fanatical that if there is any prayers going on and if there is a form of either Krishna or whatever, he will walk out saying that I don't believe. And he was arguing with me at one time and saying, you guys worship forms, you guys are ignorant. And I said, you know, okay, you are Arya Samaji and you worship the fire, right? Because he does yajna. So you offer grains in the fire and worship the fire as, what do you worship fire? As a manifestation of the Lord? He said, yes. I said, well, that is a form too. When you're worshiping the fire. So the idea is that one should not become fanatical. That's what Vedanta teaches, that all, whatever way you approach me, in another place Krishna says, you can approach me with whatever faith, whatever way, I accept the devotee's love. And so if I choose to worship with a form, that's good. If I choose to worship as a formless, that's good too. But there is room for all. You know, in the Lord, in the Lord's eyes, whoever is a devotee, whatever way he comes to me, he says is fine. So today we shall talk about the person who wants to worship the formless, who is a meditator, and what can I offer him, says the meditator. So the verse number 27 talks about the ones who worship the formless. The 26th was the one about with the form. So here in the 27th it says,
Yat karoshi yadashnasi. Yajjuhoshi dadasiyat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tat kurushva madarpanam.
So he says, Tat kurushva madarpanam. Dedicate. Tat means that. Kurushva means do it. Mat arpanam, to me. So offer and dedicate everything to me. Offer and dedicate everything to me. What can I offer to him? If I don't believe, if I don't have a leaf or a flower or a fruit or whatever you give, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you eat, whatever you do. And then the last one he says, yat tapasyasi, and whatever austerities you perform, Arjuna, offer them to me. As Swamiji also says in his commentary, that it may seem very difficult in the beginning. How can I offer everything to him? You know, how can I remember him? It is very difficult. But it can become simple if you realize that the reason, whatever I am doing, whether I am eating, drinking, walking, talking, doing charity, doing penance, doing whatever, I'm doing because of the Lord's presence in my heart as life, as consciousness, as energy. And whoever I am giving it to, or whoever I am offering it to, or whatever I am, whoever I am dealing with in the world is nothing but the Lord and Lord alone. So when a person constantly remembers that, then it becomes easier. And the more and more one has to be consciously alert about the fact that the Lord is there in every heart as the life. You know, in another place in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, he is in the heart of all beings. And how does he is there? He is there as the life. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Just as in a car there is a motor, or in a machinery there is an engine, you know, which moves that. So he is that engine, he is that energy that moves the body. So yantra is like an instrument. So this individual is an instrument and he is the energy. And he's there in all beings. So when you remember that, then what happens? Then Swamiji says, your every action becomes a dedication to him, becomes an offering to him. It increases your love for him, because the more you think about him, the more you appreciate his beautiful qualities and the love and the compassion he has. And we can do one, each one at a time. So he says, yat karoshi. So whatever you do, anything you do, from waking up in the morning to going to bed at night, every activity is there because of his presence. So as much as possible, as often as possible, try to remember him. When you see the trees flowering, and when you see a child smiling, the breeze flowing, there's a beautiful crescent moon in the sky, you see it in the, you know, at night, or you see the sunrise, or anything, or you see a, you hear a nice piece of music, or you see a, some great scientific, you know, I, in medicine, every time I see newer and newer advances, you know, with CAT scans and MRIs and scopes, and they're going to the intricate, you know, deepest, you know, parts of the body. What is that? That is the Lord's glory. You know, how these scientists have discovered that. And things that we take for granted, you know, all these wonderful scientific discoveries, inventions, everything is happening because of the Lord's presence. And actually, when I was reading this last night and preparing it, I felt so overwhelmed because I'm so blessed and so fortunate that I have the opportunity to talk about the Lord to all the Lord's devotees. It is really, and I'm so thankful to all of you, because if you were not here, you know, whom would I be speaking to? So really, it is, you know, every activity one can dedicate to him, because it's so wonderful, you know, when you remember him. Then he says, Yad Ashnasi, and whatever you eat. And, you know, in all the scriptures, you know, they say grace. Or they, you know, before they start eating, you know, they just close their eyes for a moment and thank the Lord for providing us this food. And also in our Vedic, even the food is considered as God, because it is God himself. Brahmarpanam Brahma Havihi and Brahmagno Brahmanahutam. We chant that the food that is the Lord, the one that is being offered to is the Lord too. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. So the Lord is the goal and the Lord is the food. So even the one that is eating is also. But eating means a lot more than just eating food. You know, we eat with all our sense organs. We eat with our eyes. We eat with our ears, with our nose, with our skin. We are constantly ingesting things. And they say that just as they say you should eat healthy food so that your body is nourished and so that the Lord within is nourished. That is the idea of eating healthy food. So also one has to be very careful about what you ingest with your eyes and with your ears, in or in what you listen to or what thoughts you entertain in your mind. Because if the Lord is in me, why should I feed him junk? Just as I should not eat junk food with my mouth, I should not get junk from my eyes. Several years ago, they had done a study that an average household, they watch 7 hours of TV a day. And this was many years ago. This was before internet and before, now if you add computers, internet, surfing the net, is probably a lot more. And I was amazed, 7 hours a day. And that is the, and what do we watch on TV? Most of the time is just junk, you know, sex and violence. And so they say you have to be very alert what you put in your mind. You know, what you see with your eyes, you know, be discriminative. You want to see good programs. We're not saying that never watch TV or never go on the net, but be selective. What sites am I going to visit on the internet? What TV programs? I should support those TV programs that are good, you know, that nourish my mind. Same with things you listen, you know, instead of listening to gossip or negative things or turning onto this talk radio where they are just violence and, you know, anger and Republicans and Democrats and they are just cursing each other. Listen to some good music in your car, you know, or think good thoughts. So that's what he says. Whatever you see, whatever you eat, whatever you listen, be very alert. Dedicate it to me because I am the recipient. I am the one in your heart that receives whatever you offer. So when you are offering, like when we go to the temple and we offer food to the Lord, we always take food that is freshly prepared and very clean. And we wash our hands and take a shower before we cook. And why? Because I'm offering to the Lord. So similarly, when I'm offering food inside or anything else, I have to be very alert that it is the Lord who is the recipient. Yad juhoshi, and then whatever you sacrifice. You know, one sacrifice, of course, is the, you know, the sacrifices they do in the rituals, you know, where you offer and you do, the priest does the prayers and you do swaha and you offer in the fire, and that is a fire sacrifice to the Lord. But in my day-to-day life, what can I sacrifice? They say sacrifice your self-will. Sacrifice your selfishness, your little ego. This ego that separates me from others and that separates me from the Lord. It is that ego that I have to give up. How do I do that? You know, they say, so difficult. What? So they say start with baby steps. Like you go out to dinner, instead of the husband saying, I'm going to order what I want, and the wife says, I order what I want, the husband can say, today let us eat what you want. You know, not only on Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day we do that. Happy Mother's Day to everybody, all the mothers. But we just went out to dinner, and I want to sacrifice my self-will. So today, even though I don't like it, but today we will eat what you want. So start with little things. The movie, we want to watch a movie instead of arguing, you know. I mean, so little things like that, vacations. So as you start sacrificing your self-will, you know, your selfishness, and start doing things for others, start within your family, and then extend it out. You know, I help in my family, then I extend it to my church or my temple, to my community, to my city, and ultimately to the whole world. So that's what they say, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. This whole world is my family. And so I sacrifice. And whatever you are capable of, that's again what he says, Yad Dadasi. And whatever you can give in charity, you know, when there is somebody who genuinely needs it. And that's what they say. Again, one has to be discriminating, you know, even in doing charity. Give it to good organizations. Give it to, you know, be selective and give in plenty. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, the teacher says, give it with discrimination and give in plenty as much as you can comfortably give. Instead of, I mean, somebody, you know, they say, I saw a homeless man walking and I gave him $20. You know, that's good. But then you do not know whether the homeless person will eat food or will go out and get drugs or get drunk. So maybe you support an organization that feeds the homeless. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. So whatever you give, dedicate it to the Lord. Do not give with arrogance. That's another very important thing. Even in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it says, give with modesty. Because people often think, I gave so-and-so thing to so-and-so person and I did him a favor. And it fattens your little ego. You know, I do so much for the community. I do so much for others. But the wise people say, when you have an opportunity to give, be grateful to the other person. That because of the other person, if there was no recipient, how would I give? So when you are giving, you give it with the attitude that I'm grateful to this person that he's there or she's there to accept this, so that it helps me to evolve, to get better. Again, not thinking that I am evolving or I'm a better person, but that, oh Lord, whatever I have has been given to me by you. Everything I have is yours, and I'm giving it to who? To you, in the form of all these people. So whatever I have taken from him, I'm giving back to him. So who am I? So that attitude, he says, have that attitude in all your giving, in all your charities. And then he says, yat tapasyasi, and whatever penance you do. Penance one, of course, you know, we always read in the Puranas of these rishis who sat in the Himalayas for years and years and years and sat in penance and in the heat and cold and snow, and they, you know, meditated upon the Lord. But when we talk about penance, it is how when you put a lot of effort. You know, like somebody wants to win the Olympics, so he puts a lot of effort, years, 8 years, 10 years of effort. Somebody wants to be very successful in his company or in his business, he puts in a lot of effort. Somebody wants to, you know, be the best cook, and so she does a wonderful job and prepares a beautiful dish and, you know, finds all the ingredients. So he says, wherever you put a lot of effort, dedicate that effort to me, and when you get success, dedicate that success to me also. So then people say, you know, it is so hard to remember. You know, I am so busy, involved in doing my work. It's hard to remember him at all times. So in the 12th chapter, he says, Krishna says, okay, if it's hard for you to remember me while doing the activity, sarva karma phala tyaga tata kuru yatatmavan. In the 12th chapter, he says, okay, you cannot remember me while doing all the activities, but at least when you get the result, then offer the result to me. Oh Lord, I am successful because of your effort. So sometimes, yes, it is difficult when I'm very busy, but at least at the end of the day, oh Lord, whatever I did today and everything, I want to thank you for whatever I have. And in the beginning of the day, oh Lord, I'm about to start a day and I know you are with me at all times. So slowly you can increase your awareness of his presence, and sooner after it will become automatic. The more you do it, the more it, you know, his presence increases. And the more you feel his presence, the more, you know, such a person, that's what Swamiji in his commentary says, that not only such a person's love for the Lord increases, but every action of his is filled with divine. You know, his every action is divine. His every action becomes a service, because when I am dedicating an activity to the Lord, how can I do an evil activity? If I say, oh, Krishnarpanam astu, oh, Jesus, I offer it to you, then what are you going to do? Practice those values that Jesus gave us, or that Krishna gave us, or Ram represents. So when you offer to the Lord, then automatically your activities become pure, become full with love, becomes, you know, filled with compassion. So that's what he says, that in all these forms, you see me and me alone. And constantly when you see the Lord, then every action becomes pure, every action becomes filled with love, and every action becomes divine. And the more you do that, the more your actions become pure. And Swamiji in his example talks about the goldsmith, how a goldsmith, when he is working with gold, he sees only the gold. He does not see, you know, the different forms. He knows everything is nothing but gold. There is a story which some of you may have heard, but it's worth repeating. There was this man who was suffering a major financial loss. His business went down, the stock market went down, he was very poor, and he was very rich at one time, became poor. And he had no money left, so he needed money to eat. So what did he do? He had a gold flower that was pure gold. He had bought it, worth, you know, a lot of money. So he went to the goldsmith and says, can you buy this gold flower from me? So the goldsmith examined it, says, yeah, it's pure gold. I'll pay you $700 an ounce. So that was the rate. So he got the money, he tried to start his business, and then he needed more money, and he was still didn't have enough. So a month later, he had a statue of Hanumanji, you know, which is a devotee of the Lord. So he took a statue of Hanumanji and tells the goldsmith, how much is this? So the goldsmith weighs it and says, you know, gold has gone up from 700 to 800. So I'll pay you $800 an ounce. So he's very happy, you know, I got more for the devotee and less for the flower. Yeah, but the devotee of the Lord has to be worth more. So he's very happy. Month later, he needs more money, and he has a big statue of Ram himself, God statue, and he takes that to the goldsmith and says, how much is this worth? So by that time, the price of gold had fallen down. So goldsmith says, I know it's Ram, but I'll only give you $500 an ounce. He says, what? For the flower, you gave me 700. For Hanumanji, you gave me 800. And for the Lord of the universe, you're only giving me 500. You should be ashamed of yourself. He said, look, you know, I look at the gold. I know this is Ram and this is Hanumanji and this is flower, but when I'm buying it, I look at the gold content. I cannot give you more. So a goldsmith looks at the form, looks at the substratum, does not look at the form. And so all day when he's working, he remembers I'm dealing with gold. He knows that I'm not dealing with copper, so he's not going to sell a gold ornament at a copper price, because he knows. So similarly, a devotee of the Lord in all these forms, he knows that I'm dealing with the Lord himself. And with that attitude, when he works, then his every action becomes divine. So that's what the Lord says. Offer everything to me, and then you shall come to me. In the ninth chapter, he says that, Mame Veshyasi, you know, you will reach me alone, you know, when you offer all activities to me. So if anybody can wants to add anything. No, that's not ego. That's not ego. When you get a good feeling, is okay. But when it translates into arrogance, you know, then it becomes a problem. If it's arrogance, or if it's a, that I'm looking down upon them. But yeah, obviously when one does something good, there is, because it is the Lord within is pleased, you might say it that way. Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, when you put a lot of effort, and even that effort, He is giving you the energy to put it, like you have a very difficult task to do, and you succeed in that, then you should be thankful to the Lord for giving you the ability to do that difficult job. When you do something difficult, and then again, you start out by saying, "Oh Lord, I have this difficult task ahead of me today. Give me the strength and courage to do it." And then when you accomplish that, then again, be thankful to Him for giving you the ability. Yes, always ask. Every morning before you leave the house, you know, ask for His blessings and grace. And then at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, just chant His name and just chant your mantra and remember Him, and then close your eyes so that the last thought should be also of Him. And just grateful, being grateful. He is carrying us. Throughout the day, He's carrying us, but at least just be thankful to Him for carrying you throughout the day and being with you. And be thankful for the scriptures, because that is His words that have come to us. So, and to the prophets and to the great saints, always be grateful to them, because they bring the word of God to us, whether it's, you know, Jesus or Buddha or Swami Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya or whoever. But again, that also should not become mechanical. When I'm chanting that, also I should say it with feeling. Because after a while, a lot of our prayers become mechanical. You know, we mechanically do the aarti, we mechanically chant. So even when I'm chanting His name or saying that, it's beautiful, but one should do it with alertness. And there also they say you see the Lord behind that person. And when you do that, then the disturbance will be less, even though it's a difficult person. If the Lord is in me and the Lord is in him too, yeah, but the reason people are difficult is because of their vasanas, their tendencies. But the energy within is the one. So then it becomes easier to deal even with difficult people. No, I think it makes us feel better. But actually, we'll be coming to that in 2-3 verses. I think next week we have that. It's a beautiful verse. He says, "I am the same in all beings. But those who remember me constantly, I am in them and they are in me. I am with them." It's like the fireplace. Now, the fireplace is there in one corner of the room. And you are away from the room and you are complaining, "Oh, it's so cold, oh, it's so cold." And the one who is close to the fireplace enjoys the warmth of the fireplace. The fireplace is offering its heat to everybody. It's not saying, "Oh, I'm only going to give it." So one who is close to the fire enjoys the warmth of the fire. One who is far away will complain about the cold. So the Lord is there everywhere. But if you bring Him in your heart, you will enjoy His warmth. Otherwise, if you never think about Him, then He's, as far as we are concerned, He's somewhere else. Yes, it is true. It is very, very true. Yeah, they are happier all the time. Nothing can make them unhappy, because they are in His presence constantly. And what better life can you have than be with Him at all times? We are in His presence even when we don't remember Him. You know, He's there with us day and night, 24 hours. You can never escape from Him. But if you remember Him, then it makes your life more cheerful. Whatever you give, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you eat, whatever you do, and whatever austerities you perform, offer them to me. So the Lord is the goal. He says, "I am the same in all beings."
Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.